I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Football, energy drinks, beer, more football. Welcome to Bink at Night.
Bink's intro is so funny.
You like football?
Yeah.
You like beer?
Uh-huh.
You like energy drinks?
Yep. Oh, we got a shootout coming now. Philadelphia's marching down the field. Eli Manning, for you fantasy listeners, threw a 30-plus yard touchdown to Darius Slayton. And now Carson Wentz, who some people have coined him the nickname Carson Trubisky, is starting. Yeah, he's starting to find Zach Ertz, which is always a success. But when you've got Dallas Goedert on the team, too, that just keeps taking targets away from him, it's just one of those things. This is Bink at Night on 610 Sports Radio. Dusty Likens with you as well as Nick Price. We'll be back on Saturday from about 1-ish to 3. And then the guys and lady from the sexiest trio in sports radio when it comes to Unicero, Carol, and Jillian. Or Julio Sanchez, Chris Unicero, and Jillian Carol. They'll take you over from 3 to 5 on the show on that night. And touchdown Eagles. There's a flag on the play. It's Monday night. Chiefs victory. They're victorious over the New England Patriots. They improve their record to 9-4. They're now the third seed in the NFL. We'll get to around what happened yesterday in the NFL. Yesterday in the NFL was quite depressing if you get outside the Chiefs win in this local area. So many injuries. Lots of matchups that just kind of fluctuated differently towards where people thought they might have. The kids coming back home. And we've got to get to this topic where I felt this game had a lot of feels in it. Now, I know a lot of you out there would probably tell yourself, well, yeah, Dusty, this game was very important for both teams. The Patriots are getting talked about as if they are completely getting just washed out of the NFL. You know, there we go. I'm screwed. Alshon Jeffrey leaving on a cart with no helmet. I'm done, baby. My fantasy season's over.
I'm sorry, man. You had a good run.
As long as Golden Tate.
You won last year, right?
Yep, I did. But as long as Golden Tate doesn't win, I'm good. As long as he doesn't do anything, I'm good. I just need Golden Tate to just not be a factor in this game. But good luck, Dusty.
Good luck with Eli out there checking it.
Oh, God. He's leaving on a freaking cart. Oh, yeah. Bruce.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh, yeah. Non-contact, limping. Please don't touch me. I'm hurt. Please don't touch me. Yep, Alshon Jeffrey's done for the night with an injury to his leg that's been bothering him all year. That's just freaking great. Speaking of this game, the game Sunday against the Chiefs and the Patriots, I could be wrong, and maybe I am, but that game last night had two of the biggest head coaches in the NFL, the two biggest head coaches in the NFL, really just showing out. And I don't mean like biggest as in like weight. I mean that as in clout. Andy Reid and Bill Belichick are the winningest coaches in the NFL. Currently, they're probably the two best when it comes to their craft. And this night on Sunday afternoon showed that because what I mean by this is that there was a scene last night in the game where you could tell that everybody that was involved in this game, it was all about these last, like, two quarters. And I remember there was one scene where Travis Kelce was bleeding from his nose, was pouring down his face. It kind of had the feel of, like, Austin and Bret Hart when he's in the sharpshooter bleeding out of his head, for those of you that are wrestling fans. And you saw Mahomes just, like, yelling at all his teammates, like, doing the typical, like, let's get fired up. Like, you do your job. When the ball comes your way, you make a play. And then you kind of saw the whole team on the sideline kind of reacting to that with different facial expressions. Like, oh, my God, this is it. We got to do this. We're in Gillette. We're in New England. This is the house that Brady has continued to build and continue to make these banners that are behind the field goal post. And everybody was just all into that moment. And then you cut away from that, and you look at what you got from Andy Reid and Bill Belichick. And maybe I'm wrong, but we all know they make a running gag about it on Family Guy that Bill Belichick, and everybody knows this, is the most emotionless man when it comes to just pure emotions, any way, shape, or form. Media, sidelines, little kids trying to give him high fives, people asking him questions, saying the wrong name when it comes to like social media, calling it Snapface, not Snapchat. And now all of a sudden, we're watching this game last night, and for one, I've never seen Andy Reid chew gum. In fact, chew gum like he was on the sideline. He literally was chewing gum like he was Pete Carroll, like it was something that he just had to keep chewing to keep him going. And like keep, it was kind of like when Tiger Woods this year started chewing gum. You're like, why is he doing this? And then after it came out, it was like, oh, it's just like type of gum that I have. It kind of keeps my energy flowing. It keeps my attention like where it needs to be. And again, I'm not saying that's why Andy Reid was chewing it. Maybe Andy Reid just had a really good stick of Juicy Fruit. I couldn't tell you. But when it came to Bill Belichick, I've never seen that emotion out of Bill Belichick. His hands were constantly up. He was constantly ripping his headset up. He was constantly going down the sidelines. He was letting the refs know it. And it was like somebody who had messed up because of themselves and wanted to blame somebody else for it, which I get. The officiating wasn't the best last night. This was a high-octane game. This had both coaches just being really zoned into this. But this is the type of game that we expected to have. And I know that before we got to this game, we were talking about how it might have lost a little bit of its buzz. Maybe on a national standpoint, and hell, even from like a local Kansas City standpoint, that it started to become more about can Pat win in Gillette and can Tom Brady really be done being Tom Brady? And then you watch this game and like the game's starting to build up and the equipment's late. And you're like, oh, God, Patriots are going to Patriot. And then you move on from that and you're like, oh, God, now there's this. And then all of a sudden the game starts and you're like, okay, New England, Kansas City, Bill, Andy, Pat, you know, Brady, what's going to happen? What are we going to do here? And you saw the emotions just pour out from two guys that most of the time, I think this is fair, most of the time don't show a lot of emotion.
Now, both of those guys are usually pretty stone-faced on the sidelines. And I think that one of the biggest reasons for that in this game is these are two living legends that are coaching against each other. You know, two guys that are in the top six, I believe, of all-time wins in the NFL. So this game meant a ton, not only for them to win this game, but because of who they were playing. And also just, I don't know, you mentioned about how it had all the feels last night. This really felt like it was the most important game. Like we were in the AFC Championship all over again. And like we were dealing with that. You know, you talked about Kelsey bleeding, you know, Mahomes playing through injuries, the pump-up speech on the sideline, all of the different swings and the ups and downs in that football game, it really felt like every single play mattered, and it wasn't just some Week 14 game with two teams that are already locked up for the playoffs. It really was a battle of two legends at head coach going at it to see who's going to get the best of them in this one. It felt like a playoff game, man.
And I get it. Like, the text line can destroy me for this if you want. I mean, that's fine. But, like, maybe these coaches should be doing this. Like, maybe this is how these coaches should react in games like this, because the best way it can make me think is when you do something in competition where, let's say that, like, you play a one-on-one game and you're playing against kids in the neighborhood and, like, you're better than them, so you just don't really care because it's games that you should win, it's things you should do. And then all of a sudden word gets out and there's a kid that lives just like a street up and he runs his local cul-de-sac. And then all of a sudden he shows up. You see more emotions when two guys that are really good at the same craft go head-to-head because, one, you want to beat the other guy because of, I guess you could call it bragging rights. Because if you're better than another guy who does it better than you, then what's that make you? Better than him? Maybe.
And pride, too. You know, exactly. You think, you know, Andy Reid's always kind of had these really good schemes against Belichick and been able to expose him in ways that Belichick is rarely ever exposed. And the same goes on the inverse of Andy Reid's Achilles heel has always been running into Bill Belichick and running into the Patriots and losing.
Yeah.
So this game meant a lot to these guys personally, not just what it meant in the standings.
Yeah, and maybe the theory is Andy knew he had it and Bill knew he needed everything possible to go his way and it just wasn't. Like, maybe that's something that we can look at, because if you think about it, like, Andy Reid probably knew that his quarterback was better, probably knew that he had a better option at receiver and tight end, and just knew that if he could just maybe get one from Tom or maybe get a little break here and things would go in his favor. And it just so happened that that's exactly what happened. And then you can kind of see where like a guy like Belichick who's like, well, we just can't let this type of stuff happen. We've got to be able to do this. We've got to be able to do that. And then all of a sudden, it started to go the worst possible way it could, which, again, is what can cause you to get a little delayed. Like today, I was driving to work. 435 was closed down for certain reasons. It caused me to get aggravated, just the way it is with Bill Belichick when he's like, we got our two-point conversion turned down. We used our challenges the wrong way. That's kind of stuff you don't see happen to Bill Belichick, but stuff like that can happen to him if the other guy is being successful and picking at your brain.
I think that's another thing, too, that we have to look at here is the fact that Andy Reid is considered one of the greatest offensive minds to ever coach in the NFL, and Bill Belichick is considered one of the greatest defensive minds. So this was offense, our strong suit, going against your strong suit in the defense for Andy Reid, and that's why this game meant so much is like, can he actually figure it out? And can he figure out how to beat them?
And the other thing, too, now is that when two giants get together with all this clout, it's fun to see when they square off. But Romo said it first, or said it best at the start. It was either him or Nance. I think it might have been Nance. But they said it best. These are two coaches that are in a race to figure out what the other one's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And once they can figure that out, the other one's got the advantage, and it's not even close. And that's exactly what we saw. Patrick Mahomes did more than just join the other two quarterbacks to beat Tom and Bill this year.
Bank at Night.
My God, I didn't know they were bringing back the show Mad About You.
It is what it is.
Dusty, they're going to bring back anything and everything nowadays. Come on, you're a big movie guy. You know this.
Yeah, I mean, do you know who Paul Reiser is?
No.
Main star in that show. You know who Helen Hunt is?
Yes.
There you go. She was in it too. Now it's back. I never really watched it. I just knew it was a show that my parents liked. I just saw a TV ad for it because I'm just depressed.
Yeah, sorry about Alshon, man.
I mean, I just got to hold on to a 3-point, 4-point lead against Golden Tate. And Eli Manning, who just said, the hell with it. I'm showing the league I still got it. I want a contract.
He wants that Jacksonville deal.
You think Andy Reid should keep chewing gum?
Yes.
I think he should, too.
Keep doing whatever you got to do, man.
Yeah, go to whatever Arrowhead Pride. They've got a tweet out. What's your most unpopular current Chiefs take? Not cheese steak, Chiefs take. I decided to say Andy Reid needs to chew gum more often during games. He seemed more confident while doing so. I'm just saying.
I'm like, all in for that.
I've never.
Hey, maybe he looked at Pete Carroll and he's like, he's always got a great running game.
I mean,
maybe if I start chewing gum and just walking up and down the sidelines, maybe it'll work out a little better.
Yeah, Pete just got swag, man. Like, he's got good hair. He's up in the Pacific Northwest.
He's the oldest head coach. Doesn't look like it.
He's the oldest head coach in the NFL?
Yeah.
Okay. What's he, in his 70s? I bet he's 69. He seems like a guy that'd be 69.
68.
Oh,
September 15th, the next year, he will be 69.
Ugh, that's going to be a good one for Pete. You think Pete's gone to the cliche move and, like, caught, like, a gigantic salmon up in Seattle? Whatever it is they throw at you?
Yeah.
Pete's the man. I like Pete. My dad hates Pete Carroll. Never liked him. He thought he left USC in dirty fashion. I don't blame him.
I mean, he did.
Yeah. I mean, Bill's about to do that to your Kansas Jayhawks.
Don't bring that up right now. This is a good day.
What if he wins a national championship this year and then it's just out?
You know, I'll always be thankful for the time that we had, you know? Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it's happened.
That's right.
Something like that.
So, speaking of something that you can smile that it's over, that's the Chiefs win against the Patriots. We teased that Patrick Mahomes did just more than what the other two quarterbacks have done this year, and that was give Tom Brady a loss. And how fitting can it be? Because we talked all week that the NFL and the carryover is what keeps this league and this product so fresh and so entertaining. When you think about it, you're like, at the time, you're like, man, what are we going to do when Tom Brady – Peyton Manning and Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers are no longer in the NFL. How will the NFL be able to respond? They say, hold my beer. Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, and this Russell Wilson cat, who's the older one of all of them. They're all going to be in the league. They're all going to be exciting, and they're all going to be great at what they do. In fact, one's already won MVP. Russell Wilson's probably going to win an MVP. He's already won a Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson's definitely going to win an MVP this year. And Deshaun Watson, as soon as he can get away from Bill O'Brien and the Houston Texans organization, can realize that, because that's why they lose games like they did to Denver, which we'll get into next segment. That's a Bill O'Brien thing. And Deshaun Watson has MVP type of caliber to be a leader in this league. But the thing that's great about Patrick Mahomes, it still intends to separate him from those other three. Really, it's Lamar, Deshaun, and Pat. But what separates him from the other two, and when it comes to Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson, is the fact that Patrick Mahomes did this in Tom Brady's palace, and he's the first quarterback to win there under the age of 25 since the year 2000.
Not to mention, I saw some stat floating around on Twitter yesterday about how when Brady and Edelman both started home, they were like 43-0 or something like that against the AFC, which obviously is now 43-1 after last night.
It was 42-0.
42-0. Yeah, because you remember back when the Chiefs beat him in week one in 2017. Mm-hmm. I believe that was Edelman's suspension for the PEDs. So.
Yeah. And what's crazy, too, is that, of course, everyone saw the same thing that we saw. As soon as Patrick Mahomes started grimacing and holding his hand, you're like, oh, God, of course. And you think to yourself, like, what's going on?
You're like, this is not good.
You're like, that's his throwing hand. You're like, if it's his other hand, it's all right, but that's his throwing hand. And then you kind of look at yourself like, well, they don't really take a lot of snaps under the center. It's normally a lot of shotguns, so whatever. And then it kind of looked like he started shot putting the ball, and people are going to be like, well, the Chiefs off. Like, we got one from earlier in the text line. They only scored 3 points in the second half. Yeah, but they didn't turn the ball over that much, if at all. They also got a blocked punt that had to only go 19 yards for a touchdown, which is what kept the Patriots lingering. But the other thing, too, about Patrick Mahomes is that even with his presence on the field that this team had, they still were able to rally around him and keep things going. And Tom Brady lost to Patrick Mahomes at home. It's the first time he's lost to a quarterback at that young of an age, because I don't think he was there in 2000. Was he there in 2000? Probably. I don't know. Tom Brady's been in the league for 40 years. But the thing that's crazy about it is the fact that Patrick Mahomes went to Tom's palace, beat Tom, got the win, and did it with a sore hand, which showed you that it's just not all about what they had to do on that game. That Tom Brady and the numbers, they don't lie. The Patriots, they don't have what they used to have. And Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, and the third time they met, Patrick Mahomes won the title fight. Now, there's still a prize fight. Like, you could still see this team again. The playoff possibilities are just out of the roof, because there's just so many things that can change between the top four
so
teams.
So many moving parts.
Yeah, like you could have, you know, whatever you want to do with when it comes to those. And the thing that's crazy is when you look at Tom Brady and you look at what he's done the last 10 games, he's thrown 58% completion percentage. He's thrown 6.1 yards per attempt, 12 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. That's a 78.9 QBR. That's not good. That's not league average. And the thing that's crazy, if you think about this, this may not be the last time the Chiefs and New England match up. We played the Clark Hunt audio earlier. We don't need to play it again because you probably heard it on the drive. You probably heard it with Binkley. And Clark Hunt said what he had to say. This is arguably the best coach of this generation, arguably the best quarterback of this generation, and there's a possibility that you could play them again. And when it comes to New England Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs, this is the topic you have to have the next day. They're both playoff contenders. They're both going to be in the playoffs. And there's a possibility they could both play each other again. Whether it's at Gillette or at Arrowhead, we don't know. But you'd have to think to yourself, with the options the Patriots have, with the track record you have going forward, the Chiefs seem to be the better team and in the better situation moving forward.
Yeah, they definitely do. I mean, Mahomes coming out there and playing her last night, that's some real grit, man. Being able to push through that. Frank Clark coming out and playing with the flu, like, this team just seemed like they really wanted it because Tom Brady's been in the way so many times. And now you're seeing Tom Brady decline, and I know that he doesn't necessarily have the weapons around him that he has in the past, and that might be a little reflective of how he's playing right now. But we talked about it earlier, Dusty. Tom Brady doesn't seem like he's having a whole lot of fun right now. He's frustrated. You saw him getting into a chirping match with Chris Jones last night, stuff that just normally doesn't get to Tom Brady, got to him last night, and it's because he knows the Chiefs are here, and he knows that the Chiefs and these other quarterbacks in the AFC that are kind of taking over, Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson, are all trying to dethrone him, and right now, it's working.
And it's working because it's not hard to get into the head of Tom Brady. Like, we saw how Mahomes was really able to just finish that game with a hand injury. Like, there was no way you were pulling Patrick Mahomes out of that game.
No way.
Like, that's just the fight that you need. And that's the other thing that's important that we bring up in this conversation when it comes to Patrick Mahomes and this team is the fact that, like, Patrick Mahomes, after his kneecap was dislocated and then put back into place in the same game, the next couple of weeks, all anybody was saying is, like, is there really a chance that Mahomes could play this week? And, like, that word wasn't coming directly from Patrick Mahomes' mouth, nor Andy Reid's, nor Mark Donovan's, nor Eric Bieniemy, nor Brett Veach. Anybody was saying that. It was just the fact that, like, Patrick Mahomes was out there on the field like, dude, I'm good. And it's like, I get it, man. You're 24. You're young. You feel immortal. And that's what you want to see in your quarterback. And, again, this plays to the point why it's so important to get to a Super Bowl and possibly win a Super Bowl while you can with Patrick Mahomes. And I know there's a lot of people out there that are like, Golden Tate dropped that one too. Just take the night off, Golden Tate. And the thing about it is that, like, when people look at this and they're like, well, that's our quarterback. That's the grit we need. That type of grit probably won't be there in his early to mid 30s. That's not going to be there because that toughness is going to go a little bit deeper away than where it is right now. And when you have a quarterback like that, that knows he's getting ready to get paid and still is out there risking his hand. Because what are the two most important parts of Patrick Mahomes? His arm and his hand. He's got to grip the ball and he's got to throw the ball. The arm's got to be there and the hand's got to be there. The kneecap and the hand and the ankle have all been injuries this year for Patrick Mahomes, who last year went unscathed. Like, he had a couple of pops last year.
No, last year was just a magical season. Like, yeah. Everything went right.
You didn't have to worry about anything because he just never got hurt.
And you thought that he was invincible.
And it makes you wonder, do you necessarily need Patrick Mahomes against the Denver Broncos next week? Now, he's going to play.
Right. I've seen people floating that idea out there, though.
Right. And Andy Reid has already said, you know, his hand blew up kind of a little bit. It's a little big bruise. Should be all right to play Sunday. Rappaport had a report on it earlier. I'm sure you've heard already. But it just makes you think, like, this is why this team is so successful with this quarterback. It's not just because of the raw talent. It's because he's the dog on the offense, and everybody knows it. And when you see those hype videos, like, that's real blank stuff, man. Like, that's Patrick Mahomes being raw. That's what he is to his teammates, and that's why his teammates rally around him. Like, I get it. Like, some quarterbacks just don't have that. But the fortitude that Patrick Mahomes showed yesterday was absolutely insane, and I get it. The number's there. First quarterback under 25 to win in Gillette since 2000. It's the first time that Edelman and Brady have lost at home. They were 42-0 going into that game. Everything was stacked against him, and he even got his first drive with a sore hand and was still able to go out there, continue the game, even though they only scored 3 points in the second half. They didn't need to score points because they knew that they were a better team and they had the better matchup. And, oh, by the way, the guy that's from Boston, Steve Spagnuolo, who might have had a good time in his hometown, yeah, he picked up a nice scheme.
Yeah, and when Mahomes, like Kansas City, you've just got a natural leader. He leads by example. He leads vocally by pumping up the team. Like, he's going to go out there and play hurt. He's going to do anything that he can to get a win for his team, and it seems to be rubbing off on the other guys, too. So you love to see it.
The NFL picture took a wild turn yesterday.
Bing at night.
You know what I really hate is when you go to a restaurant and somebody has to let the server know that it's their birthday. Like, just tell me, like, right away. Just say, hey, man, it's my birthday. You guys do stuff for birthdays? Don't be like, hey, it's his birthday. Because nobody right. likes their birthday to be announced at a restaurant.
No, see, like, if I never go for that move. If I want to embarrass my friends and I know that they do something for a birthday, I'll pretend to, like, go use the restroom or something, go find the server, be like, hey, it's my buddy's birthday over there. How about we, like, get him up on the table and sing to him or something like that?
Yeah, like, there's nothing worse than, like, going to a restaurant and someone's just like, hey, it's Jay's birthday, and what do you guys do? It's like, hey, let that guy let me know.
Right.
It's like, I've never been one of those guys that, like,
or do it, or do it behind their back so that they're caught off guard. You know, like, don't make a big scene about it.
Yeah, you know what's really great on a birthday? Go pick up the tab. Don't get a free dessert.
Yeah.
Carl. It's annoying.
Carl.
I just feel like that's the kind of guy that would be like, hey, it's his birthday. He doesn't want you to know it, but do it anyway. I'm like, dude, just stop. Like, birthdays are overrated. Like, places that, like, still dance and sing, like, maybe this is just me being a millennial and, like, we don't like it anymore, but, like, it's just like, eh. Kind of over it. Like, I don't want to put a sombrero on my head and go around the restaurant and bother everybody else.
Right. Like, most people aren't going out for their birthday because they want the attention of everybody in the room. There are some people like that, but most people just want to go out with the people that they went out with and enjoy a nice night with their friends or their family or whatever.
Yeah, like, my mom always gets frustrated with me because she's like, what do you want to go out to eat? I'm like, Mom, I work in the industry. So, like, one, I don't want to go out to eat because I know what they're trying to do to you.
Right.
They're just trying to sell you food that you're going to pay more for that you probably should. But that's just the way things work in restaurants. But the other thing, too, is that, like, my birthday's in August. It's August 7th. It's always in the middle of summer. And, like, both of my parents are both, like, the type that just would rather grill. And I'm like, hey, Dad, just grill out, like, burgers.
That's cool.
Or I'll go to my stepdad. That. When I go to my mom's house to celebrate my birthday, he's like, what do you want to do for your birthday? You don't want to go anywhere? I'm like, nah, just get, like, burgers. And every once in a while, they'll surprise me. Like, oh, we're doing steak and shrimp. I'm like, oh.
Okay. All right.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, all I need is a...
Yeah, that's what I opted for my birthday this year. My family moved back from New York, and my mom made a really nice dinner. She made my favorite dish from my childhood. Shout out, Corey. Great cook.
What's your favorite dish?
She makes this chicken piccata. It's fantastic. Ooh. Yeah. It's like a lemon breaded chicken breast, basically all cut up, and then some noodles and this broth.
Mm.
Woo.
Yeah, I went to Longboard yesterday for my, for my pregame meal. Shout out Longboards. Feel free to, you know, you can sponsor our show on Saturday on Out of Bounds.
That'd be
from 12 to 3. We'll
be all right
with
that.
Eat a wrap every time we're on your show.
I pretty much already do.
I mean, you should. But their food yesterday, they had this wrap. It was insane. I want to get to it before we get to the NFL story because it was actually, it was quite amazing. So it was called the, what did I say it was called earlier? It's like the Tijuana car.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Yeah, it was called the Tijuana Steak Cartel. It had guacamole, pepper jack, and pico in it, steak, shrimp, and fries, lemon garlic aioli, chimichurri ranch, and jalapenos.
You know, the fries are such a game changer when you go with a wrap or a burrito or something like that. Like, Dusty, I don't know if you ever had Tiki Taco downtown, but they got this one called the Daddy Bruce, and it's basically a breakfast taco with zesty curly fries inside, or a burrito, and, man, change your life.
Could happen. But the NFL yesterday took a wild turn, as now the division leaders in the NFC are the Niners, Packers, Saints, Cowboys. The wild card in the NFC are the Seahawks, who are 10-3, and the Vikings, who are 9-4, and still in the hunt are the Rams at 8-5, the Bears at 7-6, and the Eagles at 5-7. You say, how the hell are the Eagles available to be in the playoff hunt? Because they can literally win their division. That's the only way they can get into the playoffs is if they win their division.
And you're looking at, too, like you're looking at a situation where you might have a team that's 13-3 having to go play a Dallas team or a Philly team that might
seven
be.
7-9.
Yeah, 7-9.
Which had happened a few years ago. I think
it was the Seahawks.
South. Yeah, the Seahawks.
It was the Seahawks.
Marshawn Lynch. Is that the beast mode game when the Saints went there? Yeah.
Yes, Saints.
But the 49ers and the Saints yesterday was absolutely insane because, like, I guess the biggest news in local areas, the Chiefs clinched the West, Raiders are done, and Houston losing to the Broncos is extremely huge. Like, the Chargers game didn't mean anything, but it lets you know yesterday that the AFC West is done and the NFC South is done. So two divisions wiped off. You kind of have to think that the NFC West is probably over. The Niners probably should win that division. They probably are going to win that division. But you look at what happened yesterday in the AFC, especially in the West, the Chiefs have locked up the West. The Chiefs are at least going to be a 4 seed, which you okay to see that. They're going to get a home playoff game. Whether they play the Bills in the first round, or they play the Patriots in the first round, or they play the Steelers in the first round. But the Chiefs are also still in the hunt for the second seed because they beat New England, and now they have tiebreaker over New England. They're also in the third seed because Houston loses to the Broncos and Drew Lock, which we will get to in the last segment.
Which was huge for the Chiefs. Because
gigantic.
I mean, you remember that the Texans beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead earlier this year, so they got the tiebreaker there.
Oh, yeah.
So you needed some kind of slip-up from Houston, and you saw it yesterday from your boy.
Yep. And, you know, I'll get into Drew, I promise. But, like, what I'm trying to say is that when it comes to the NFL and what's so crazy about the NFL every single week is the fact that things can flip on a dime. Like, you look at yourself and you think, okay, what do the Chiefs need? Well, here's something. The Chiefs should be in real serious talks and contention still at the 2 seed. New England still plays Buffalo, that they only beat, I think, by 3 the last time they played. Granted, it was at Buffalo. The next
really
time,
low scoring game, though.
Yeah, it was like 19-16, right?
That defense was definitely, you know, that it was affecting the Patriots.
The thing that's crazy about it now is the fact that Tennessee and Houston still play each other twice the rest of the year. So I doubt both of those teams went out against each other. Somebody's going to split a game. So Houston could possibly lose another one. New England could lose to Buffalo. Buffalo could lose again. And then all of a sudden the Chiefs are first round bye, playing the second seed. You never know. But the Niners and Saints game was awesome. That was a game that led up to the 3:25 matinees. And, geez, he is such a stud, dude. Slayton for the Giants just scores again on a bomb from Eli.
Eli's back.
Dude, that's
he's chucking it tonight.
And he is just getting just all sorts of love from his teammates. Look at Eli, happy, getting like the slap hands like they did in Waterboy. Everybody's pounding on his shoulder pads. 50-yard touchdown reception from Darius Slayton. I'm serious. Start that dude in any single fantasy lineup
he's good.
You can. Yeah, he's good.
He's just good.
But then around the NFL as well, like you saw, Seattle looked rough against the Rams. You look at everything else that happened when it came to wins and losses, of course, to everybody in the NFL, of course. And then you look at what happened to New England today. As, like, all of a sudden they're spying again. And now there are people like, oh, we don't know who they are. I've never heard of these people. Well, they were wearing your type of gear and all this kind of stuff. And, again, you hate to see it, but New England gets caught in this whole scandal once again, and it makes you wonder what the hell's going on in New England.
And the panic button's being pushed.
They're on full tilt. And then you look at how many severe injuries there were yesterday.
Yeah.
And how many guys went down. And then you kind of collectively go to yourself and you're like, well, I think the Chiefs are all right. Like, Mahomes' hand was bruised, but that's really the only significant injury we had. So then you move on from there. Redskins lose their linebacker, Ryan Kerrigan. They lost Darius Geis, who suffered an MCL sprain. Quentin Dunbar exited with a hamstring injury. Mike Evans left the game against the Colts with a hamstring injury. Highly doubtful for Sunday's game. He's going to get an evaluation, probably done for the season. Saints lost their tight end, Jared Cook, to his second head injury, which is also in concussion protocol, for the second time this year. Tom Brady was seen in the post-game podium following their loss to the Chiefs with a wrap and an ice bag on his right elbow. His elbow ain't the same. Patrick Mahomes underwent x-rays on his hands. Andrew Wiley suffered a shoulder injury. Devontae Parker and Albert Wilson were both knocked out of the game. Josh Jacobs was an early scratch in their game, was out. You look at Calvin Ridley, Desmond Trufant, Dee Ford was hurt again, Ryan Griffin, Belial Powell, Le'Veon Bell, Rashad Penny tore his ACL. He's out. Noah Fant, it's not really that serious, they say. He should be all right, but the tight end for the Broncos, who seems to have a good connection with Drew Locke. Baltimore Ravens lost Mark Andrews, Anthony Levine, senior, not related to Sean. Green Bay Packers defensive lineman Martavius Adams goes out. Detroit Lions lose their defensive end. They also had a problem with Bo Scarborough, who was the claim to fame in the fantasy waiver wire a few weeks ago. And DJ Chark and the Jaguars take a massive hit. And one thing that we've always said this entire season, which a lot of people will tell you many times, is that it's not how good you are going into the end of December and going into January, but in fact, how healthy you are. You remember the Chiefs last year, there were some guys that were banged up that weren't fully there. And now all of a sudden you look at this and you read those injury reports again, you think to yourself, well, you did come across Patrick Mahomes' name. You did come across Andrew Wiley's name. That's a little bit concerning. Yeah, but the x-rays were negative. It's just a bruise. He's going to get 6 days to wear it off and not have to worry about it. They can do what they need to do in practice. And next thing you know, the Chiefs, in the AFC at least, are one of the more healthier teams moving forward, because I'm not sure how severe Mark Andrews' injury is. Now, they've said that he should be fine coming back Sunday. But again, Mark Andrews is a valuable point, he's a valuable target in that offense with Lamar Jackson. In fact, Mark Andrews is who he is this year because Lamar Jackson has that big trust in Mark Andrews. So again, the NFL, it takes wild turns every Sunday. But this week, a lot of injuries. And the Chiefs, for the most part, steered left of all those injuries. Coming up, we've got to get into what is the kid that comes home. We wrap this show up, and we send you out of here, Kansas City.
Big at Night.
This just in on Bink at Night. James Palmer of NFL Network tweeting, the Patriots admit they didn't inform the Bengals or the league about their video shoot at the Browns-Bengals game. New England also admitted they inappropriately filmed the field and the sideline from the press box. They accept full responsibility. Dusty, does this mean anything? Like, if you're going to cheat, at least try cheating in a way that you haven't been caught doing before, right?
Yeah, I mean, they just always cheat.
That's just ridiculous.
Makes you wonder. Makes you wonder also if this guy's true.
I've been a season ticket holder since 1994. I just landed in Fort Myers after flying up for that game yesterday. And what people were booing about is we spend over $15,000 a year for season tickets, and that doesn't even count the playoffs for my four seats. Oh, and they don't give Brady an offensive line or any weapons. They're booing the organization, not Brady.
I just always love when fans, like, make it fault of the team. That's like, oh, man, you know what? I can't believe that I paid all that money. Like, the team didn't put a gun to your head and say, hey, you have to go watch this game in the playoffs and spend a lot of money towards it.
Right.
How about Adam Schefter's troll tweet tonight? Eli Manning has now outscored Patrick Mahomes when it comes to week 14 in fantasy football. Okay. Fair enough. A little unnecessary. But let's get to what this week will become. As now we can rest a bed the Patriots, as they have now been caught cheating again and admitted it again, according to James Palmer that Nick Price just brought out.
Yeah, you can keep
shut
doing
your that. Mouth. You're not God or my father or my boss.
Yeah, well, that's all you need to know. But one thing that's interesting is that the Chiefs will play the Broncos this Sunday at 12 o'clock. Pre-game will start at 10 a.m. That'll go on right after Steve Serta's fantasy football show, where I think he'll tell everybody that I was right about Darius Slayton. Just saying. But really, in reality, it means that Drew Lock, the golden boy of Missouri, gets to come home. He gets to come back home, and he'll be at Arrowhead this Sunday, noon. Arrowhead Pride pregame show starting at 10, going until kickoff. Then right after the whistle blows, the final whistle blows, Arrowhead Pride will be right back on the air with Jay Binkley and Pete Sweeney, and they'll be taking your phone calls after the game, getting live audio from the podium. And if you remember, Drew Lock said this when he was drafted by the Broncos.
I think it's even cooler to be in the AFC West and, you know, get to go home to Kansas City, get to play the Chiefs, get to kind of end up being the bad boy. You know, I grew up as a Kansas City kid, went to Columbia to play for the University of Missouri, and, you know, now I can't do anything else in the state of Missouri. I got to go to Denver and come back and beat the Chiefs one day.
Now, before we can dive into it, the rest of the week is we'll have a show on tomorrow night. We'll have another one on Friday night. We'll have a little bit of a discounted show on Saturday. But this game will be different than the game in Denver, because the game in Denver, obviously, Mahomes goes out with the kneecap. Joe Flacco was still playing for the Denver Broncos and was a complete statue, and the Chiefs just absolutely blitzed him out of this world.
Didn't seem like he wanted to be there at all.
No, and then he questioned his team's, like, heart the week before, or maybe it was the week after.
The week after, and then showed up on the IR.
Yeah, and then he was done with a neck injury. Yeah. But according to sources, Joe Flacco has been extremely helpful towards Drew Lock, and it's clearly showed, because from where Drew Lock was in the first week of the season in the NFL and to where he is after these two games that he's come back and started once he got off the IR, Drew Lock looks like he's found his connection. Now, he does have the connection with Noah Fant. He seems to have found that connection with Sutton. Cortland Sutton has been an outstanding wide receiver for them. And, of course, they still have the undrafted kid out of Colorado and Phillip Lindsay. But the thing that's crazy about Drew Lock is that quarterbacks for their first time don't tend to play very well against the Chiefs in Arrowhead. There's more to that than just that. The basic bullet points of Drew Lock coming to Arrowhead is it's going to feel a little torn for a lot of people here, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that are familiar with where he played high school ball, which is right off of 50 Highway, at least Summit High School. The field is visible from 291. In fact, I pass it almost every day. Drew Lock played football there. Drew Lock then went down I-70, played football at Columbia, then There's a lot of Missouri Tiger fans. There's one that talks on the air from 2 to 6 on this radio station every single Monday through Friday, Carrington Harrison. I'm sure he's got a little bit of torn situation. Now, granted, he has said many times he's just a Mizzou fan, that he doesn't root for a lot of other teams. It's just Missouri, who, by the way, hired their new coach today, and press conference will be tomorrow. I'm sure Jay Binkley will get you all the information on that as well. But there's a lot that goes into this game, right? Like, Drew Locke is playing with a lot of momentum. He's playing with a lot of trust in his team, and he's got a lot of swagger built. In fact, we'll play an audio clip here before we get out of here about how he feels, what you can hear in his voice about how he feels about coming home. And it's kind of interesting because your whole life, when you grow up in a town and you think to yourself when the dream could become a reality, if it ever could, you'd love to see yourself in your hometown team.
Like leading your team.
Right. There's nothing in my mind that tells me that Drew Locke is a Chiefs fan playing for the Broncos. I will die on that hill if I have to alone. I don't think I'd be alone, but I could guarantee you if you could somehow get it, I bet Drew would be like, oh, yeah, I love the Chiefs. I grew up watching the Chiefs. I went to their games. His dad played at Mizzou. So the Mizzou aspect's there, the local aspect's there. Everybody knows who he is around this area because everybody watches football. And now you get to come back to Arrowhead, which is known as the loudest stadium in the world. Your hometown. And guess what? You've already said this when you got drafted.
I think it's even cooler to be in the AFC West and, you know, get to go home to Kansas City, get to play the Chiefs, get to kind of end up being the bad boy. You know, I grew up as a Kansas City kid, went to Columbia to play for the University of Missouri, and, you know, now I can't do anything else in the state of Missouri. I got to go to Denver and come back and beat the Chiefs one day.
One day. That's the most important part of that audio because I don't do predictions on a Monday because there's still so much to go into the injury report and players that may not play. You're going to get a lot of pressure, not just from the Chiefs and not just from the crowd and not just from the atmosphere, but you're going to step on that field that I know that you probably stepped on before, and there's going to be the feelings of like, holy crap, this is kicking in. But the other thing too about it is that you love to see stories like this if you're just insane like I am. Like, this kid came from this area, a local hero, went to Mizzou, was, you know, at one point had the record for the most touchdown passes in the SEC. I think Joe Burrow might have passed him this weekend. But at one point was the highest touchdown passes in the SEC by a quarterback of all time. And you can think of two quarterbacks that have played in the SEC. And the thing that's crazy, and yes, evolution works in football, but then you listen to what he had to say to James Palmer at the end of the game yesterday, and listen to his voice at the very end when James Palmer says, now you get to go back home.
Your teammates have told me that you kind of brought a swag back to the quarterback spot. Run me through the little crossover dance I saw when you're using your legs out there for a first down.
Yeah, you know, in the scout team, I was messing around with Deshaun a little bit, and we started dribbling the football. And I was like, all right, first one I scramble, pick up one, I'm going to hit a crossover and then flip it for a first down. And, you know, I did. It just so happened that I was accidentally, you know, on their sideline a little bit. Might have looked a little suspicious, but no, we planned it out. Was no disrespect to anybody, but just kind of a fun thing.
All right, well, you got your first road win, and go prepare right for the next one that's going to be at home.
Yeah, it's definitely at home, yeah.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Like, James Palmer's really going into this question. He does it so well. This is good journalism, not just because James Palmer's a fan of the show or a nice guy, which he's all of the above, but the thing that's great about him is the fact that he asked that question right after he asked the question of, your teammates seem to say that you brought this type of swag back to the Broncos. He did the Buzz Lightyear laser point when he scored
which
a touchdown,
awesome,
which shows his age, which is from the same kind of group that we're from. He does the whole, like, swag pack when it came to dribbling the basketball and hit him with, like, the little layup. And then he asked him just so suddenly, and now it's back home against Kansas City. He's like, yeah, back home. Yep, definitely back home. And it's like, yeah. Like, this win was great. And, like, you could tell in his voice that when Palmer asking that question, it just all hit at
reality
once. Like, it was like, oh, crap. Yeah, I'm going
like,
back
yeah
to Arrowhead as the villain.
I got to go back to where I wanted to be the hero and where I always was the hero.
Yeah.
And now I got to be the heel.
Now you got to be Hogan at Bash at the Beach. You got to be the guy that everybody loved. And now you got to come out instead of black and white. You got to come out in what? Burnt orange and like blue? Navy? Is that their colors? Broncos colors? I don't know, whatever
something
you want to call
like
them.
That, yeah.
Yeah, blue and orange, I guess is what you could call them. It's like basic colors. But now you get to come back as the heel. Now you get to be the guy that was like, you know what, I grew up here, I played here, now I'm playing for the Broncos. And it makes you think how sick, demented, and twisted John Elway's brain is. Because maybe he thought about this. Like, oh, I'll take this Mizzou kid that's slipping out. Because guess what? He grew up in the area, a suburb outside of Kansas City. He's probably a Chiefs fan. I'm going to get him on my team, and hopefully he can save my franchise. Right now, he's giving Denver just what they need to play that perfect role of spoiler. I don't think the Chiefs lose, but I think that there will be a lot of topics that will just completely come out of the woodwork, and you'll hear a lot of Drew Lock cuts. Press conferences, he'll speak Wednesday in Denver. He'll come around this weekend. He's got a house down here. Everybody's familiar with Drew Lock, and it's just a matter of time until the heel makes his way back at Arrowhead, and that heel is Drew Lock.
Isn't that kind of tough, too, because you see a Kansas City kid, he loves Kansas City, went to Mizzou, all of this, and you want to root for him, but then he ends up on the team that you're born and raised to hate if you're a Chiefs fan? It's a tough situation, and you know that there's going to be a lot of emotion for Drew Lock coming back and playing in Arrowhead, and it's not quite the way that he thought it was going to be, but it'll still be a cool moment. But he knows that he's up for a very, very tall task going in his third NFL start against one of the best teams in the entire NFL on top of all of this other stuff.
Yeah, it's not going to be the homecoming that he's used to. I mean, I'm sure he's used to being the homecoming king.
Right.
He's got the golden arm. He's got the locks. He's got the look. He's got the smile. In fact, he's got the lock as the last name. Dad's got a couple of restaurants in downtown Lee's Summit. It is what it is. But what tonight was Bink at Night with your host, Dusty Likens, along with Nick Price. Again, Wednesday, you've got Arrowhead Pride Radio from 6 to 7 with Pete Sweeney and Ken Swanson. You have the Players Only on Thursday at 6 p.m. with Dana Hughes. And then you have Rush the Field with Jay Binkley. Joe Mays also with Dana Hughes on that show at 6 p.m. Then you'll have Jay Binkley for Rush the Field at 7 o'clock. Or I'm sorry, from 8 to 9 on Thursday. And don't forget, Saturday, starting about 1:15-ish after the K-State postgame is over, Nick Price and myself will get you ready for Out of Bounds. And then Chris Unicero, Julian Carroll, and Julio Sanchez will wrap up the Saturday for Live and Local. Thanks for joining us on Victory Monday. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Nick Price. We'll talk to you tomorrow night, Kansas City.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.